right. How's that sound? Can you hear me okay? Feel free to adjust as needed. It's nice not to have to remember to project my voice. So it's actually been a super long time since I've done a kid's message. I was going back in my notes and looking back in time, and I'm not even going to tell you how long it was because it was so long ago, but it was many, many, many hairs ago that I gave the last kids lesson. So if you can use that as a unit of time, that's what I'm going to do, just because I can. But we're going to go to Mark chapter 4. Does anybody remember what the last one that I did was? I don't expect anybody to, even the adults. Chris, right? What do you think? Nope. It was two chapters earlier. It was the paralytic. And yes, it was a long time ago. But I appreciated Josiah's prayer and his comments, but I do want to make one correction. I hope that it's not me teaching you as much as it is the Lord or the Holy Spirit teaching you guys. And I know you don't mind me making that statement, because we don't have any of the truths of God's word unless they're given to us spiritually, unless they're given to us by the Lord himself. So we pray, Lord, that you give us these teachings and that you draw this, or connect our minds and hearts to understand these truths from our heart. Anybody want to guess on what we're going to talk about today from this first picture? What do you think, Aaron?
That Jesus was teaching at the sea again.
That's true. Yeah, that's the first part. But we're going to talk about a very specific story that Jesus told. You know what it is, Ian? Good guess. Good guess. I know that you guys know, because you guys were hovering over my shoulder when I was putting the slides together. So you can just keep your thoughts to yourself. We'll find out soon. We'll find out soon. I want you guys to turn, if you don't already have it ready, turn in your Bibles with me, because it's good practice for you to find the passage in your Bible, Mark chapter 4. It's page 880 in my Bible. So it might be somewhere near 1,000. Or you can look in the table of contents to try and find it. But each of you guys, I want to see your Bibles open. Logan, I can tell that you're not open to the right spot, because yours is open in the middle. Nice try. All right, so let's open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. I want you guys to read with me. There's three Gospels. That means three books in the Bible that give the same story, but with a little bit of different focus. But it's the same story. There's three Gospel accounts that have the same story. This one's the shortest, I think. I didn't actually count the verses, but usually Matthew wrote one account of Jesus' life on earth. Mark wrote another one. That's the one we're going to be focusing mostly on today. Luke wrote one. Luke was a doctor. He was very detailed. He would write lots of details. And then John wrote one. John focused on Jesus as the Son of God, and he focused on how Jesus was a perfect son, perfect example of a son. But Mark usually would focus on the things that Jesus did and the things that Jesus did for others, especially as a servant. He would serve other people. And right here you can see a picture of, there were so many people that were coming to Jesus, we're going to read, that he actually had to get into a boat because of the number of people. And then they could see him better. So Mark chapter 4, it says in verse 1, you guys with me? Be able to read with me? And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude, it means a big crowd, was there on the land facing the sea. And then he taught them many things by, what does it say next? Saraya. Parables, yes. What's a parable? It's not two cows. What is it, Logan?
A story about a kingdom.
Yes, very good. Did you remember that from our conversation in the living room?
Yeah.
Good memory. All right. Saraya, what do you think?
Can you have some?
Oh, wow. You got the Sunday school answer. She said, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Yeah, well, parables are something that Jesus told. And they are. They're stories that have something physical, something that we can relate to, right? Something, maybe something that you've seen before or heard about before. And it helps us to understand things that are very important. The things that are eternal, things that are spiritual or heavenly. The things that we might have a hard time understanding if we didn't have a parable told to us. And this was one of the ones that Jesus told about. And so as Jesus started telling the stories, people would listen better. And sometimes when I'm talking to kids and when we're at camp in different places, sometimes they get distracted. I had some distractions this morning, some distractions from that were making me have a hard time prepare properly for worship because I was worried about the rain doing things that I didn't want it to do. So I had to try to set those thoughts aside because there was something more important for me to focus on. And right now, there's some important things for you guys to focus on. And I especially know that you're listening when you're looking at me or when I can see that you're drawing things in your notebooks that are about the story or writing things down, maybe writing the words down that you see in the Bible or that you might see up on the screen after we flip a few pages. Or if you're looking at me, then I know that you're listening. Looking and listening and answering questions. And I've got some very special prizes up here for those who are good listeners. I've only got two, though. So the very best listeners will get to have a very special Good News Camp sticker. That's a great prize. But there's an even better prize. And that is learning and understanding what God and the Holy Spirit would like to teach you here this morning from this parable that we're going to read about. Okay, so let's keep reading. He taught them many things by parables, and he said to them in his teaching, listen! He probably didn't shout like that. I just said that to get your attention. Have you guys ever heard your parents talk to you like that? Don't worry, I'm not angry. Not yet. I did have to apologize to some of my family this morning for getting angry. Sometimes I make mistakes, and sometimes angry is good. Anger is good, but usually when I'm angry, it's not good. When the Lord is angry, when he does get angry about sin, he has good anger. It's good to be angry about sin, especially your own sin. But the Lord was angry about sin, but he also is a loving God, and his anger towards sin is accompanied by love. So he says, listen. This is the only gospel account that he says that. I kind of liked that. There's Matthew says, behold, which is kind of like listen. But in Mark, he says, listen. That's a good word for kids, right? Sometimes we have to be, and grown-ups too, sometimes have to be reminded to listen to the things that are important. Behold, a sower went out to sow. Or, when I read in a different version, it said a farmer. Sower's kind of like a farmer. What does a sower do? Aaron?
Put seeds on the ground so they can grow.
Excellent. You got the key word. He puts seeds on the ground. Did you know that if you do a study on seeds in the Bible, you can go all the way back to Genesis and spend hours and hours and hours learning about what God's word says about seeds? Seeds that are planted, seeds that are sown, seeds that are pictures of things that start and they bring life later on, right? When you put a seed in the ground, it can grow if it's the right kind of what? Eli. If it's the right kind of plant, yep, but what does the plant need? If you just have a seed, does it do anything by itself? Ian? Needs water and sun. What else does it need? Logan? Yep, it needs the Lord to make the miracle of growth happen, but it needs something else that's really important that you guys are going to learn about a lot today. We're going to focus more on that probably than anything else. One more thing. Aaron?
Does
It needs soil. Or dirt, right? Needs some good dirt. So the sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed, verse 4, read with me, it happened as he sowed that some, what is the next word? Say it out loud.
Seed
fell by the wayside, or on the path. And the birds of the air came and devoured it. What does devoured mean? What do you do when you see a yummy, soft, gooey-looking brownie after you've had a dinner and you still got a little bit of hunger left and your parents give you this delicious-looking treat? What do you do with it? Do you devour it? Yes. That's what the birds did to those seeds. Did those seeds grow?
No.
Did they produce anything good?
No.
Maybe a full stomach for the bird, but that was it, right? No, that was one situation. He cast those seeds down. Those look like pretty good seeds, right? Were the seeds good? The seeds were great. They were perfectly good seeds. And they needed, did they have enough sun?
Yeah.
Yep, they had enough sun. Did they have enough water?
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. But what happened to them?
The birds
devoured them. Yes. Well, that was not the only kind of soil. That was one kind of soil. The path, we'll call it the path. This, my New King James Bible called it the wayside, but it was a hard pound, hard packed. What happens on a path when you walk on it lots and lots of times? Is it nice and, or is it really soft? Do your shoes get stuck in it if you're on a path? What do you think, Eli? Do your shoes get stuck on the path sometimes? Not if it's been walked on a lot, right?
It gets packed down
really hard. Exactly, yeah. And so do the seeds sink into the soil? Or do they just sit on top? They just sit on the top, don't they? Okay, well, what does this ground look like? Does that look like a good place to plant some seeds? What do you think, Soraya?
No.
Why not? Yeah, it's rocky ground or stony ground is what my Bible says. Verse 5, some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth or much soil. There wasn't even much soil there because a lot of it would just fall on the rocks, right? But some of it did. Some of it fell into the soil and it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. So there was some rocks probably underneath the soil and it didn't allow the seeds to get deep enough to spread out and get what? What does a seed need to do in order to spread out? What does it need? What do you think? You look like you want to raise your hand. You have an idea? It's okay to guess. There's no penalty for being wrong. Roots, yes. That was one of the things, yes. If it doesn't have enough space, if there's rocks underneath the soil and around the soil and it doesn't have enough space to spread out, does it do a good job growing? Kind of a trick question. It does at first. It springs up. But if it doesn't have roots, how long is it going to last? See these things? Those are plants that died because they didn't have enough space for roots. They grew up really fast. They looked good at first, but they didn't last very long. So they did grow, but they didn't last very long. Okay, well, we're going to keep reading about what actually happened before we talk about all the spiritual things that Jesus explained with this physical story. So then, verse 6, it says, when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, you are absolutely right, Perry. Because it had no root, it withered away. What does that ground look like to you? Looks kind of like our garden. What do you think, Soraya?
Thorny and full of weeds.
Thorny and full of weeds. Yeah, we have both thorns and weeds abundant in our garden. The thorns are supposed to be there because it's overtaken by raspberry plants. But the weeds, we don't really care to have them there. And so what have you been doing the last couple of days, Logan? Pulling lots of weeds out, yeah. And What do the weeds do to the seeds usually when you plant them in your, or when they get, when they don't get pulled out of your garden? Aaron?
They spread.
They spread, yep. Yep. Do you like them there? Is that something that you want there? No? Why not? What do they do? Ian, what do you think?
They choke your plants.
They choke your plants, yes. Like this? Yeah. Very good, especially Creeping Charlie, right? Yeah, those they have a tendency, especially some of those weeds, they have a tendency to wrap around them and hold them back so that those seeds just can't grow very well. Well, let's read on and see what it says here. Some seed fell among thorns or weeds, and the thorns grew up and choked. You got exactly the right word. Were you reading ahead? That's good if you were. That's good if you were. It's always good to read it from the text yourself. Choked it and it yielded no crop. Yielded no crop or no fruit is another way that that can be translated. So is that a good place to plant the seeds?
No.
No. Is it? Do you think that this is the only place that this farmer planted? Those three places?
No.
Where things would grow up too quickly and wither away from no roots, or where they'd get choked by other plants, or where they would get so hard packed or fall on such hard ground that the birds would come and take them away? Or do you think there was another kind of place where this farmer planted? Do you think that farmers plant in more than one kind of soil? You think they have enough seeds that they just kind of go whoosh, whoosh, and they think, oh, well, some of that stuff's not going to grow, but I think some of it will. Yep, I think that's the way it usually works. But what do they usually do before they plant? Got a couple of farm slices here that think they know the answer. What do you think, Eli? Yes, I love the terms that you used. That thing on the back of it, yes. We're not worried about the fancy terms, but I'm sure some of you care. Yeah. What do you do if you don't have any big tractors? What's the old-fashioned way of doing it? Logan? Throw it? Oh, yeah, you throw the seeds, yeah, but what do you do to the ground? Ellie? Hoe, yeah, you hoe. Or even like the middle, like the not quite so long ago, was you just use a tiller, right? Rototiller. To make the ground what? What does that do to the ground? Soraya? To make it more soft, yes. So farmers prepare the soil. These are good details to remember. Okay, some of these details you might notice aren't in Mark, but some of them are in, I think most of them are, a lot of them are in either Matthew or Luke, okay? But some of these things are not in any of them. They're just things that we know about farming. Okay, so what does this look like to you? Can't see the dirt, but what do you see? Ian. The wheat, yeah, or the crops, yeah. So it's coming up. Does it look healthy? Yeah, this was the good soil. See, the birds are flying. They're like, oh, nothing for us there. Because that was good soil. If we read the next verse, it says, other seed fell on good ground. Looks like that's the stuff that the farmer prepared. He either hoed it or tilled it or ran a cultivator through with his tractor, right? But what happened after that? The seed went in. And what did it do? What did it do? Logan?
Did
its job. It did its job. What was its job? Aaron?
It grew and fruit.
Yeah, it grew and it yielded fruit. And it says some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100. So, here's another picture to show. There's some seeds there. Which ground is this?
The hard
packed path, yep. What's this ground?
Rocky.
Rocky, yep. And sometimes maybe it looked a little better than that, but If it was in the ground and it grew a little bit, did it last? No. What about this? What does this look like? Weedy, thorny. Yep. And how about this? Yeah, see how those seeds are kind of going into the ground because it's so soft and moist and good? Because a farmer did a really good job preparing that spot. So hopefully the biggest part of the field looks like this, right? And that's what would yield a harvest like this one. Okay? So then, what happened next? If we read on, there's more. Sometimes when Jesus told the parables, people didn't really understand what they meant. And they had to think about it. They had to think about the other things that Jesus said. But this one, Jesus actually explained it. Why did Jesus speak in parables, though? Matthew talks a lot more about this. But in these verses here, let's read verses 10 through 12, because that tells us a little bit about why Jesus spoke in parables. It says, when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable and said to them, to you who has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven to them, be forgiven them. Turn and let their sins be forgiven. What has to happen before your sins can be forgiven? What do you have to do according to that verse? Ellie? You have to turn. You have to turn. And if you turn, another word for that is to repent or change your mind and realize that your way is wrong and instead God's way is right. You're going to turn and you're going to do things God's way instead. And those who decide that they want to follow the Lord instead of going their own way, God gives them understanding. And that means that those parables are more, they make some sense. They can understand. And that's also how he describes those who have good soil, those who understand the word. What is the seed? We're going to kind of jump ahead a little bit here, but what is the seed? Aaron? Okay. Okay, I guess we're going to have to read on to learn what the seed is. I think maybe some of you guys know, but let's read ahead. Let's see what the scripture says. Seeing they may see and not perceive. So some people don't understand. The seeds are good, but they don't understand them. And this is why God spoke, why the Lord Jesus spoke in parables, that the mysteries would be revealed to those who turn and seek the Lord first. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? So he's giving them a little bit of a challenge, isn't he? You guys need to understand. Do you understand the things that God says? The sower sows the word. So Jesus is going to explain what the parable means, what each thing means. So the sower sowed what? What did we say? The sower went out to sow what? Aaron?
Seeds.
Seeds. And what's the seeds according to this verse 14 here? Ellie? The word of God. Yes, the seeds are the word of God. Is that a good seed? Is that going to grow into something really, really good?
Yeah.
Is there anything wrong with the seed? Is there anything wrong? Is there even one thing wrong with the seed? Nope. You can count on that. The seed is good when we're talking about the word of God. If you're planting seeds in your garden, you might sometimes get some bad seeds, but this kind of seed is perfect. The seeds are always good. And when we read God's word, it's always true. It's always good. But then he says that those ones that were by the wayside or on the path, on that hard-packed soil where the word was sown, when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Okay, so let's move forward here. So remember the birds? It's people who don't care, don't understand. Their hearts are hard. Jesus is telling them that the birds would come and take those seeds away because that guy's like, he's kind of like, the word of the Bible, it's okay, but I'm not too interested in it. That's the kind of person that the birds would take those seeds away because it didn't really sink in. So then Jesus says that the word was Satan comes and steals, takes away. In Matthew's, just a quick note for everyone here, there's actually a phrase in Matthew called snatch away. The birds would snatch away those seeds, and it's the same Greek word that's used for believers that are caught up. It's just kind of an interesting connection there. When we go to be with the Lord, from 1 Thessalonians. But here we see Jesus is explaining about the stony ground. It says, the ones whose seeds were sown on stony ground, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. That sounds pretty good, right? They hear the word, and it's good. They receive it with gladness, right? That's good, right? Yeah, but what was wrong? What was wrong with the stony ground, do you remember? What was wrong with their hearts? Soraya? The rocks didn't pluck the roots, but there was no roots, right? There was no roots. So the roots didn't go down. And so this guy here seems like he was pretty happy to hear God's word when it was easy. But then when things got hard and the sun came out and all that, then it didn't last, right? Didn't last. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more. Or the things of this world would choke out the things of God because they care more about all this stuff, money and gold and fancy white pitchers with gold on them. I don't think those are the things that maybe are the most attractive to everyone here, but from freebibleimages.com, that was the choice. So I got a couple more pictures coming to help us relate to that a little bit more. And I'm going to go faster because time is going faster than I thought it would. So let's read on. And we got the good soil, the people that hear God's word, that love to talk about it, that let it sink into their hearts. So I've used the word for each of these kinds of soil. I've used the same word. What does the soil represent? Aaron?
It represents our hearts.
That's right. Yes, I believe that is true. When we read on, he says they have no root, the ones in the rocky stone soil, but then 18, he says, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Does that sound like the right kind of heart to have? To care about other things more than you care about God? You might say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. I really care about him. But then when you come to church, you're more excited about the snack than you are to hear God's word. Huh? Does that hit home? But these ones are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word accept it and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So that's the ones that really hear the word and understand it, he says. They accept it. They want to hear it. So I'm really glad that Jesus explained some of the parables so that we could learn how to learn about the other ones that aren't explained as much. So Jesus goes on to tell quite a few parables, and there's many important lessons that we can learn from those stories that Jesus told. All right. Four types of soil. Four kinds of hearts. And then four different results that happen. And this is probably kind of hard to see because I don't have very good contrast here. But here's the hard path. Remember? What kind of heart is with that hard kind of soil? Here's the four soil types that we saw before. Eli.
That doesn't grow.
Yes, and what's the type of heart, though? That's the kind of path. What's the kind of heart? Ian.
Don't care.
Yes, I like how you read that. There's a nice little hint there. The kind of heart I put them inside of a heart, so it would be easy for you to find it and write it down in your notebooks. If you're writing things down, that's a good thing to write down. The kind of heart that's a hard path, it's the same thing. It's a hard heart, right? People that don't care, or they care about other things more than they care about God's word. And guess what happens to those seeds? Satan and the distractions of of life will keep them from doing anything, right? Because the birds take them away. Okay, what about the rocky ground? They receive the word with gladness, right? Everything looks great. Maybe they're at Good News Camp and they're really excited about all the Bible verses and all the activities and all of the singing. And what happens? What happens when it gets hard? Ian? No roots, right? No roots, that's what you're going to say. And Kaylee is sitting there writing things down because she knows all the answers, right? No, she says no. Well, there's no roots, so they don't last. How about the weedy, thorny ground? Do the seeds have space to spread out and grow there? I think it's kind of like the thorny ground or the rocky ground in some ways. They don't have enough space to spread out because your heart is crowded with other things. It's very similar. And you know what? When a farmer's really planting, do they really see this? Where one row is hard and one row is rocky and one row is really thorny and one row is perfectly good soil and they're all separated like that? That's a very fake image. Not a real photo. What does it really look like? Are the grounds kind of mixed together? Usually the places where the farmer didn't break up the soil, break up that fallow ground, is where the problems happen, right? But it's not all in neat rows like this. Sometimes you might have ground that's both rocky and weedy, or hard and rocky and weedy, which means those poor seeds don't have a chance to even start. Not even close, right? So it's not all separated like this. I just use that as an illustration to help us remember. And then this is, of course, the soft soil, which brought what kind of result? Fruitful, yes. Very soft soil, very soft heart brings fruitful results. So, with only a little bit of time left, and lots of fruit, 30, 60, or 10, or 100 times as much sometimes. So choked plants, the results were scorched by the sun, birds would eat, plants would wither, plants would choke, or a fruitful crop of 30, 60, or 100 times. So what does it mean? In a couple minutes. I have examples. The first example is more kids focused, and the second example is more grown-ups focused. So there's two examples for each. And these were just some examples. There's many examples that you could do. But what does it mean? How do we apply this kind of truth? How can we let it change us? When we read the Bible or hear the Bible from our parents, maybe at church, maybe at camp, what effect does it have on us? Does it change us? Or do we simply say, I don't care? Or maybe you don't say, I don't care, but maybe your actions show that you don't care. Maybe you're more interested in something else, right? Maybe you're more interested in video games, and you'd rather spend more time playing video games than you would reading the Bible. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's your pets, or maybe it's your paper dolls, or maybe it's your work. Sometimes that can be a distraction. All right, so the path of the hardened heart is the person who doesn't care. A child who maybe goes to camp or VBS but doesn't let the truth sink in and touch their heart. Or maybe a grown-up who attends church out of habit but doesn't really listen. And if they do listen, they don't really let the message from God's word challenge them or change them. They just go home and go back to their habits. That can happen, right? See that child there? Kind of distracted. Does that ever happen to you when you're in school or when you're supposed to be listening to the Bible? So if I was going to go to these passages here, but maybe you can write them down. If the heart is full of selfish desires, it is hard of hearing for what the Spirit says to the churches. The Spirit of God says, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Then the rocky soil was the shallow commitment, right? They didn't have room for the roots. And maybe somebody at camp who loved the activities and the songs but isn't really interested in the truth when they go home. Or when they're in school. Okay, so how about the second example? Someone who starts reading the Bible daily, but quits after just a few days because life gets busy, or maybe because they got through Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus wasn't quite as interesting. Emotional enthusiasm. Sometimes we have false professions, don't we? People who maybe are acting like Christians, but they're just fakers. Or maybe people even that are really true Christians, but they don't have a lot of depth yet, and they're just very emotional about things. I think both could be applications for this parable. Okay, thorny soil, crowded heart. Sometimes a heart might even be saved, might be changed by the Lord, but they need to grow, and there's other things in their life that are hindering them from growing. Competing priorities that choke spiritual growth. Those things need to be pruned. God must take first place. And maybe a teenager who wants to grow spiritually but spends more time on the phone or doing something that is maybe even a grown-up. That one's kind of convicting to me because I spend more time on my phone than I should. But Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God. And the whole chapter of Colossians 1 is talking about keeping God first in your life. And then finally, all of those things. Is it possible for your heart to be crowded and to be shallow and to be sometimes not caring? Or for maybe one day it's crowded and one day it's shallow and another day it's hard? Does that happen? Do we ever have habits that make us that way? Things that we're just so used to doing that we do them without even thinking about them? I know I do. But the soft and fruitful heart is like someone who is willing to listen and understand. To let the truth of God's word, it's interesting. The Bible is not just this, it's not just a seed. It's even more than a seed. I think it's also a cultivator. It actually can help prepare your heart for hearing the word and understanding it. And trusting in the Lord and praying. It's good to pray and read because we need to ask God to help us to understand, right? Because without him, we can't. But a child who shows a loving desire to obey the Lord by obeying their parents is one way that we know that they're showing the fruit. You know what kind of plant it is by what kind of fruit it has. Does that mean if I go around holding cherries that I'm being fruitful? Probably not, right? It means, it could, because I'm being kind, right? But what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Yeah, that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, so maybe it is. But that's the kind of fruit that we're talking about, right? You know that they are Christians. What does the song say? You know they are Christians by what? Sorry, yeah? By their love, yep. Joy, peace, patience, kindness. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. So that's the personality that we get from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit. He is a person. Love, joy, peace. Those are the types of things that grow in your life if you have a soft and fruitful heart that wants to listen to the Lord, that reads and studies the Bible and also seeks to point others to the Lord Jesus. You're not just interested in hearing about him yourself, but you're also looking to point others to him. And in John, we read in chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Galatians 5, that verse right there, is the fruits of the Spirit. If you love the Lord, you will obey. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to remember these important things that he told in the parable of the sower. Father, we thank you for your truth and for your love to us, the perfect example. And we thank you that you've given us these good seeds that can grow into the very best things in our lives. The seed of the truth. Thank you that first for repentance and realizing that our own way leads to things much worse than rocks and thorns and lack of fruit, but it leads to complete destruction and ruin. Father, we just thank you that we can have, that when we're humble enough to soften our hearts and listen to you and your truth, that we can have the miracle of life and growth in the Lord Jesus. And Lord, we pray that we would receive the word with hearts that are repentant of not doing things our own way, but looking to you and not being tricked by the popularity, the emotionally enthusiastic ones out there that sometimes look like and claim to be filled with worship, but that we might be discerning of what is true and what is good, and seek, like the disciples who stayed with the Lord and spent time with him and wanted to be his disciples, to learn more and more of him. And they were able to see the mysteries of the kingdom. We pray all these things in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.